Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Amen. Well, today, I want to talk to you about focus. I want to talk to you about my focus, your focus, our focus, because we live in a world where there is phone notifications, there's apps that are designed to grab your attention, there's texts, there's emails, there's all kinds of things on your calendar that run you all over the place, but is your focus where it needs to be successful? Is your focus where it needs to be to grow in God? So I want to talk to you about this concept of focus. Because while we are trying to figure out focus, God is sitting back and waiting for us, waiting to pour out the next blessing, the next open door for us to get our focus right. Somebody say, my focus. So that's what I want to talk to you this month. I want to talk to you about my focus. And I want to start right here in Hebrews 12, and we want to talk about our focus. This is where I want my focus to be. This is where we should want our focus to be. And Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So we need to fix our eyes on him. We need to put our focus on him. That's what this strategy is that is being given to us through Scripture, is if we want to run a good race, if at the end of the day we want to be satisfied with the type of life that we live, with the type of race that we live, with the accomplishments that we've done, well, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We all have dreams that we have in our heart and things that God has placed in our spirit to do and a footprint we want to make and an impact that we want to have. But if we don't have our eyes fixed in the right place, if we don't have our focus correct, then we're not going to run a race that at the end of the day, that the end of our life, that we're going to be satisfied with. So the instruction, the encouragement here, the direction here is to run a race with perseverance by fixing our eyes. We won't know how to be like Christ unless we put our focus on Christ. Right. See, so often we say Christian, but we're not focusing enough on Christ to actually know how to do it right. See, you, me, anybody in this room, anybody that labels themselves as a Christian, you won't be able to do it right if your eyes aren't fixed. If your focus isn't what it should be, you won't even really be seeing what you need to see so that you can emulate what you need to emulate. So if I want to imitate something, I have to watch it. I have to look at it closely. I have to focus on it. Anybody ever played sports here in the room? All right, so when you played sports, right, you had to watch other people that knew how to do it better than you. You had to practice it, yes, but you also had to watch others that knew how to do it because you didn't know how to do it. We say Christians, but we're growing in Christ-likeness, right? We're growing, we're pressing towards the mark of the high calling. We're running a race to become more like Christ and to fulfill the purpose that we were on the earth to have. So we won't know how to be like Christ unless we put our focus on Christ. I want to be like Christ. I know most people in the room, you'd say, absolutely, I want to be like Christ. Well, you have to focus on Christ if you want to be like Christ. You have to fix your attention. He is the creator of this faith journey, and the more I focus on him, the better I get at the faith journey. I can't succeed in the faith journey without focusing on him. I can get close, maybe, by looking at him sometimes and doing other things. I can be close to the road, But my faith journey will not be complete, will not be successful unless I learn to fix my eyes. So I continue to tweak. I continue to audit my life and my focus to make sure that I have fixed my eyes. In every season, have I fixed my eyes? Is my focus where it needs to be here on Christ? Because, or has it drifted? Because if it drifted, then my faith journey is not going to be what it needs to be to succeed. I want every season for my focus to be where it needs to be. And we have to put our focus and keep our focus on Christ so that we can accomplish the dream that he's placed inside of us. We've been on this series and talking about footprint, talking about impact. Let me tell you, you're never going to get there if you don't have your eyes fixed. You want to talk about the blessings of God and God opening amazing doors for you with relationships and promotions and career. It's not going to happen unless your focus is on him. So I fix my eyes so I can run my race. Now, this next part I want to tell you about is really interesting because we don't talk about it enough in the modern American church. We kind of don't give this scripture enough spins. We really should be given a little bit more attention to this, but it's actually one of the commandments. It's actually the first commandment. You can find it in Exodus 23. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me." We're talking about focus here. First commandment that God gives us, right? You'd think this is pretty important, right? First commandment he gives Moses of the ten. And this is the basis, the foundation, the bedrock of all the other laws and rules that they have. Have no other gods before you. I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before you. Now, what is a god but something or someone that takes your attention and or your reverence? Something that has my attention and has my respect. Has my attention and has my reverence. This is something or someone that is a god to me. And far too often, far too many things get too much of our attention, too much of our reverence, right? And what's interesting is it's easy for us to look at the Bible and look at historic times, times of antiquity, and say, oh yeah, well, this is what an idol is. It's a totem pole, or it's a shrine, or it's an altar to Baal. But the thing is, we don't see those type of things that much, at least not in America. You're not going to walk down the street and see a shrine. I'm going to walk down the street and see a totem pole or an Asherah pole or an altar to Baal. You're not going to see that type of stuff. But if you're looking for the modern day equivalent, you're not going to have to look very far. It's everywhere, right? If we're thinking about what would be the modern equivalent of something that we revere and we give the majority or a big portion of our attention, there's options all over the place. And so I believe if you dig deeper, what God is really addressing when he talks about idolatry, that's the biblical term, say idolatry. Okay, so I want you to get comfortable with it. Sometimes people, they, that's a weird churchy term. Okay, just get beyond that, all right? Just want you to know, I'm not going to say it a bunch of times, but I just want you to know what it is. Idolatry, it's when we put other things in God's place. God was really at the heart of what he was saying was he's addressing with idolatry is something, anything that takes his place. So what God wants you to dress is anything that takes his place. He wants to have your focus. He wants to hold your focus. The Asherah pole, the shrines, the graven images of biblical history, at their core were all just things that took God's place, counterfeit gods. When we look in our society and we look in our world, the world that we live in, there's plenty of counterfeit gods that can steal your focus away, that can take your focus. And if we think about it in that regards, it could be money, it could be your job, it could be a sports team that you obsess over. Come on, let's be real, right? It could be that entertainer that you stalk on Instagram. It could be a relationship, right? Let's bring it back to home. This is a hard one. Sometimes we even put our family before God. And it becomes an idol. It becomes a counterfeit God. And don't get me wrong. God wants to bless you with amazing stuff, with an amazing family. He wants you to have a great home and a car to drive. He wants you to be blessed with stuff. But he never wants that to take his place. God says, I will bless you. I will enrich you. I will enlarge the borders of your tent. But he doesn't bend on this rule. I have to be your focus. I will bless you to be a blessing to others. I'll bless you so much that the blessing will overflow on other people's lives around you. Right? Isn't that what happened with Jacob? Jacob was living under Laban's roof, right? And so he was working for Laban, and God blessed Laban just because Jacob was in his house. That's the blessing of God. But God doesn't bend on this. He says, I have to be your focus. Have no other gods before me. Have no other gods before me. And it's easy to keep God as number one when you're down, when you're low, when it's tough, when it's difficult, and you got nowhere else to look up. God, I need you. I need hope. I need strength. I need somebody to come in and give me a miracle. It's easy to put God number one. But what happens when you start to get blessed and you got money and you got opportunities, you got places that you could be? It's harder, right? When you got a boat and you could be on your boat on Sunday, it's harder to be at church on Sunday. It's harder to keep God as your focus. Sometimes that's difficult. When you got the money to travel, and you could, amen. No, and you could be somewhere else. Does God still have your focus? It's difficult, and it's easy for a counterfeit God to be in that place. But I want to tell you, we were not designed to have any other gods but him. When God designed us, when God created us, when God started this, he designed us to work best with him at the center. So whenever we have something that becomes so important in our life that competes with God, it becomes a counterfeit God to us. It becomes an idol, if you want to use biblical terminology, and it's easy to happen, and it happens all through the Bible. And the struggle continues in mankind today. If I'm going to put God first, or I'm going to put this first. Whatever, fill in the blank. God first, this first. Focus on God, or focus on fill in the blank. The struggle continues throughout mankind. Look in the Bible. You can see a myriad of stories, all kinds of stories where the people of Israel are choosing between God and relationships with the beautiful women in the area that they just moved into. Right? That happened to be pagan and happened to worship other gods, but they were so beautiful. Focus on God. Focus on something else. It's a struggle that mankind has always had. And it's a struggle that we have to make sure we win. Where is my focus? What happens when our focus is off? You know, in big companies, when the focus is off, you know what happens? They start to lose money in big ways. Their brand recognition begins to fall. It begins to be convoluted, right? Because instead of McDonald's having Happy Meals, they're trying to make cars. It's just weird. People get confused. They don't know, well, what are you doing? When you're focused off as a big company, you lose in big ways. And in our personal life, if we have our focus off, we begin to lose in big ways. We begin to lose in all kinds of ways. It starts draining our major resources, our time, our attention, our emotions, our finances, Big companies, when they start to have a pet project, a hobby, a special interest that somebody high up in the company says, oh, I want to do this, an idea. It has nothing to do with what they're good at. It has nothing to do with what made them established in the first place. And they lose. We lose when we do what we weren't designed to do. We were designed to be blessed and to succeed through our focus on God. So we lose big when we lose focus. Whenever we take our eyes off the prize, we stop winning. We stop progressing. We stop growing spiritually. And all the necessary areas that God wants us to grow because we were designed to focus on God. When God created you, He created you to have Him as the focus. Whenever God gets out of the center of our lives, we don't function at full capacity. Can I say that like that? So you're not going to ever focus. You're never going to function at full capacity unless God is your main focus. Yes, you might still be pretty impressive. You might still be able to do some pretty impressive feats or some pretty impressive accomplishments, but you will never be at full capacity. There will always be something broken, something missing, something lacking. You will always have a level that you don't reach if your main focus is not on God. Amen. You might look out in the world and say, wow, this person's impressive. This person's made all this money. This person's done all these things. They're still not at full capacity. There's something broken, something missing, something lacking in their life. The other day, big billionaire, divorce. Got a divorce. There's always something missing. It's never full capacity. We were designed to have God as the center. So when our lives and our focus gives glory back to God, His greatest blessings, His greatest favor is released, and that makes a huge difference. Look at somebody and say, get your focus right. So that's the challenge. Get your focus right. How do we get our focus back right? Hebrews 12:1 says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So let us run the race marked out for us by looking at Jesus. Let us run the race marked out for us. That means He has a roadmap. He has a blueprint. He has a strategy. He has a game plan. But you're only going to know that if you fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus, then you'll know how to run the race that's already marked out for you. There's a game plan for you to succeed. There's a game plan for you to have the perfect person in your life. There's a game plan for you to succeed and live the dream that God has placed inside of you and be blessed. There's a game plan. There's a blueprint for it. But you have to fix your eyes. Focus on Jesus. We find the guidance that we need in the communication and the focus on Christ. So I run in such a way to win by looking and focusing at Jesus. And my prayer is that you make an impact and you have a footprint, but you do that because your focus is in the right place. To run a race in such a way to win, your thinking has to be right. Your focus has to be on point. God wants you to win. God wants you to have an impact. God wants you to have a footprint, but it's going to take focus. So what does your focus look like? I don't know about you, but when I go to the eye doctor, the optometrist, I do not like stuff going into my eyes. I do not like them putting the fluid in my eyes. I don't want them doing the machine that blows on my eye, that touches my eyes. I don't want anything in my eyes. That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm about to say, though. I just need to put that out there, though, in case you're wondering. With an optometrist, he's going to put things in front of you to see what your vision is, to see how well you can focus, how well you can fix your eyes. Can I tell you today, God is putting things in front of you so that you can see the vision, so that you can fix your eyes. And He wants to grab your focus. Can I tell you, when you leave this place, the devil's going to put things in front of you. He's going to give you a vision, and he's going to try to grab your focus. Life is going to hit you with some curveballs. It's going to put some things in front of you, a certain vision, and it's going to want to grab your focus. What you focus on is ultimately where you're going to go. I want to be like Christ. I got to look at Christ. You're at the optometrist office. They put you in that chair, and you got to look at the little house, and there's little things going all around, and the little fuzzy things bouncing around. When your focus is something, you can see that clearly. Yeah, you still see other stuff, absolutely. But the main focus has to be something. I want to tell you, don't be deceived. You can only focus on one thing in your life. You can see a bunch of things, but there's going to be one thing. You ever tried that, trying to look at two things at one time? You can't. You got to look and then look and look and look and look and look. I want to encourage you to fix your eyes on Jesus. You will never be as fulfilled. You will never be as blessed. You will never be as victorious as when you fix your eyes on him, the author and the finisher of your faith. When you fix your eyes on him, you are designed to win. You're going to win. But it only happens when you fix your eyes. You know what happened with Peter when he was in the water? And he was doing something miraculous with Jesus. He was walking on waves. Walking on the water. And then he took his eyes off Jesus. Just for a moment. He lost focus. God wants to have your attention. He's saying, put your attention on me. Let me have your focus, and I will take you farther than you ever have imagined. Put your focus on me, and I'm going to take you to places you've never dreamed of. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. But you got to focus on me. You got to fix your eyes. I've got to be the center of your focus. Would you stand with me today? It's a natural byproduct of a growing relationship with God that other things will become dim in comparison to the spotlight that rests on your relationship with God. It's a natural byproduct that other stuff is going to get dim. It's a natural byproduct of focusing on God that other stuff starts moving into place. The more I spend time with God, the more I focus on God, the more I emulate Jesus, guess what? Things begin to line up in their proper order in my place. He's given me strategy. I'm having a conversation. I'm having communication with God. And all of a sudden he says, do it this way. Here's the strategy. I'm not stressed about it. I know how to do it because I focus my eyes on the one that gives me strength. I focus my eyes on the one that gives me victory. I focus my eyes on the one that shows me how to be successful. Jesus, be the center. Jesus, be the center of our focus, God. Will you bow your heads for a moment? God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts today. God, we want to be at full capacity. We want to be exactly what you want and need us to be on the earth. We want to be your church. We want to be your sons and daughters. The only way for us to properly do that is to focus on you, to fix our eyes. God, help us fix our eyes. I know there's some people here today that maybe they're way off. Maybe there's some people here today, they're just a little bit off. God, help us all where we need to focus a little bit better and make you the center. And we thank you, God, for giving us the strength to do that.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.